You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll take a look at some of the biggest state news stories of the week.
Now, Wisconsin Life tells stories on both WPR and Wisconsin Public Television that highlight what makes living in our state so special.
Not surprisingly, a lot of traditions, customs, and cultures include an element of food. So Wisconsin Life has just launched a new website at wisconsinlife.org/foodtraditions.
Kelly Saran is a producer for Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public TV. Kelly, thanks for being back with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Maureen, good to have you back.
Thank you.
So where did the idea for the Food Traditions Project come from, Kelly?
Well, it actually came from one of our staff members. The idea was to kind of explore food in Wisconsin. We've been exploring food in Wisconsin Life for a long time, but never in an in-depth way that we could really come into people's homes. They could cook with us and share their recipes. So we love this idea, and we really wanted a chance to kind of bring the community into the storytelling of food. And of course, radio's also been doing a lot of food stories over the years as well.
Yeah, I think telling stories about food is a really easy way for us to connect with one another. All humans, most humans, have to eat food to survive, mm-hmm. but we eat food in such different ways. And maybe you don't know a lot about the Hmong culture or the Scandinavian culture, but if you can hear about their stories through food, it's a really easy way and a really fun way to get to know other cultures that are different from your own.
So it sounds like at least one of the goals is to help people appreciate and understand the cultures and the food that other people enjoy.
Yeah, and definitely. And we've met so many people around the state that I never tasted this food before. I never had an experience with it. Even lutefisk, I've never lived in the state my whole life. Whoa, never tried that till this time. But it is a chance. It is like kind of the foot in the door into communities a lot of the time. People can kind of gather around food always.
Well, Maureen, you did a segment on that most Scandinavian of dishes, lutefisk. Here's a little bit of that.
They asked me how I found the lutefisk. I said there was a truck went by and we just followed our nose. My name is Dale and last name is Erlinson, and I live in Antigo. My nickname is Swede. That might have something to do with the fact that I like lutefisk. Well, mostly because it's a good fish. Because they cooked the lutefisk just perfect.
Our patriarchs here have been eating lutefisk since they could crawl, and it wasn't our favorite as children, but it's really grown on us, and now it's a great tradition.
It sounds like you talked to some fun people for that one.
The lutefisk dinner was amazing. My in-laws are Norwegian, so I had heard about lutefisk for many, many years and the lore surrounding it, and so to actually be in this church basement with people eating lutefisk, preparing lutefisk. I mean, that the Swede, the man who we just heard, he traveled from Antigo. He traveled like 3-4 hours for this lutefisk dinner because he loves lutefisk so much. It was absolutely incredible. And just seeing how that community comes together over this, what some would say, a very controversial dish. But they love it. And it's a way for them to, you know, reminisce on their childhoods, think back to their parents and their grandparents, and then also just celebrate their families today.
I thought it was interesting, too, because one of the guys you talked to said, you know, we weren't crazy about it as kids, but now we really love it. And I think in some ways that's really typical of how we think about our cultures and traditions. When we're kids, it's like, yeah, whatever, we do this. You know, when can I go play with my cousins? And it's as we get older and we appreciate the significance of it that it really becomes a much more a part of us.
Oh, for sure. And if you have like buckets of butter, that also helps.
That buckets of butter is always yeah. good. Well, Kelly, you produced a piece about Hmong feasts. Let's take a listen to that.
For me, cooking is like art. Instead of using ink or, you know, oil to paint on canvas, for me, cooking my pan, that's my canvas. And then my ingredients, that's my ink. When I think about food in my early childhood, food was a really big deal in the Hmong community. I just chose these recipes because they're simple, they're delicious. And in the Hmong cuisine, if you work all day when you come home, you just want a nice bowl of rice and just something delicious.
So what was that like, Kelly? What did you learn from that experience?
So I was welcomed to Lucy Lohr's kitchen, and she didn't just prepare one dish, because you can't with Hmong community prepare one dish. You have to create an entire feast. So she started cooking and cooking, and it was like she was producing these beautiful dishes. And really, it tied into the idea that she learned to cook from her mother, and her parents came from Thailand in the 90s, and they had very little. So her mother started to grow her own food, started to teach her how to use certain herbs, all these different things. And she kind of learned about food through her mother. So it was almost like you could, it's kind of the in-between of both modern and traditional dishes is what I really like about Lucy's story as well. So she prepared modern dishes, but then her own twist. And I think that's a lot about what food traditions are, but kind of making these traditions into yourself and into how you want to cook and how you see it. And it turned out that actually as Lucy was kind of going through a physical change into her true identity, she used food to reconnect with her parents, to keep them coming into the door. So she would cook them a nice meal, have them come over, and they could kind of talk through some things that maybe her parents weren't comfortable with. And now they have a very close relationship, very strong. So it's almost like food traditions can mean so much more than just the food you eat. It's so much bigger. And Lucy's story really tells that.
And what was she cooking? Because my mouth is watering without even knowing the details.
She cooked boiled chicken. She had tofu peppers was really tasty as well. And that was delicious. And she kind of had this kind of beefy salad. And everything's kind of tangy and sweet. It's like hits all those taste buds right in your mouth. Ugh, just delicious.
Wow. We are talking with Kelly Saran and Maureen McCullum. They're with us to talk about the new Wisconsin Life site devoted to food traditions in Wisconsin. You can find those stories at wisconsinlife.org/foodtraditions. Now, Wisconsin's cultures and their food traditions are pretty varied. Were there any common themes that arose when you were working on these stories?
I would say the common theme always is togetherness in a way. When we went to the Oneida Nation and we kind of learned about white corn soup and the idea that these are a pair of close cousins that are actually using white corn soup and white corn in general to kind of resurrect food sovereignty in the Oneida Nation and keeping kind of the traditional seeds of the past to feed them today. So their community comes together in the husking bee every year, so they're getting together. Layla, the Kormasabsi recipe that we explored in Madison, her family meets every Sunday together at the family and they eat this dish that her grandmother once did. So it's really a time of unitedness. You see people coming together, whether it's in their individual sense or together with their past, kind of touching on things that maybe, oh, wow, this reminded me of my childhood. And this is why I want to share it with you. And this is why it's important to me as well.
Yeah. Maureen, what have you found talking with people?
Yeah, well, WPR's Daniel Kading, who's our reporter based in Superior, she did this great piece with this woman named Catherine Denemy. And Catherine lives on the Bad River Reservation, and she makes fry bread, which fry bread is a staple in many Native American homes. Catherine grew up with her mother making fry bread for powwows back in like the 60s and 70s. And she's decided to carry on that tradition. She started a business where she makes the dough and sells the dough to people. And for her, it was really important to make this dish by hand. She wanted to have that connection to the flour and everything like that. So it was really important for her to make fry bread by hand for people in her community and carry on that tradition that her mother taught her.
And in the piece, too, she says, you know, a lot of old ladies know how to make this and the younger ones don't. So it's kind of that idea we're keeping things alive in communities through food.
It's almost like oral storytelling because I'm sure a lot of these recipes are not written down with really well-defined, you know, quantities of ingredients and things like that. It's really passed along by cooking next to each other.
Oh, for sure. And I would say, you know, as you said that, I think of my own family, my in-laws, the ones who had lutefisk growing up. You know, they talk about how there's a lefse recipe that they never got from one of the members of the family who recently passed away and how they really regret that and that they didn't take the time to learn how to make lefse. Now, one could argue that we could go and learn lefse from other members of the family, but, you know, something's kind of lost there. So I think it is really important for us to think about, you know, what are the dishes that mean so much to us and mean so much to our families, and how do we keep that going?
My mother died when I was in high school, and she was from an Italian background. And one of the things that I wish I knew how to cook was this anchovy soup that she made. And it was like a spicy tomato broth with anchovies in it, chickpeas, a little bit of pasta. And I can taste it sitting here, but it's not something that I ever learned to make. And you know, if there was one thing I could like go back in time and ask, it would be like, how do you make that anchovy soup?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, people really connect with it. Like, just like you shared your story, it's so easy to come and connect with someone around a food that they know of the past. It tastes good. It smells good. It really brings you back to that place.
Is there something from your family heritage, Kelly, that food just really brings to life?
You know, we used to do a tradition of roasting chestnuts on Thanksgiving Eve. Some people who did it with us in the past aren't there anymore. But I always, whenever I see them in the store, I look at them and I think, you know, that brings me back.
Are there more stories that you guys kind of have on the back burner that you're like, as soon as we have time, we're going to go out and cook with this person?
There are a couple ideas I have. I don't know much about the Burmese diet, and I know that there are, like, the highest percentage of refugees in Wisconsin are people from Burma. So I'm kind of curious, like, what are some Burmese food traditions? We have a huge Italian population in specifically southeast Wisconsin. What are some really traditional Italian dishes? Not the dishes that we maybe find in Olive Garden or whatever Italian restaurant in town. But what are some true Italian dishes, Kelly?
Yeah, and I would say we actually really want to hear from viewers and listeners as well, too. This is your opportunity to kind of get out there and share your tradition with us, and we can look at stories for next year if we continue the project as well. But
and how can they do that?
Yeah, so you can connect with us on Instagram. We actually have a hashtag food traditions WI, and that's the place that we really want you to share your stories with us. So it's hashtag food traditions WI, and we'd like you to either share recipes, and you can get recipes from the site as well too. So if you try any of our recipes, let us know. See how it went. Didn't great go well for me the first time. I'll tell you that much. I was like, really missing that taste. Yeah. But yes, please connect with us. And also, we're on Instagram, Facebook. So just reach out to us and share your tradition.
Well, Kelly, Maureen, thanks so much for sharing the information. It's a great series.
Thanks, Judith.
Kelly Saran and Maureen McCollum joined us to talk about the new Wisconsin Life site devoted to food traditions in Wisconsin. You can find those stories at wisconsinlife.org/foodtraditions.
Coming up after the news, Rob Menser joins us for a look at some of the top state news stories from the week. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. This is Central Time.